Blog Talk Radio.
And this is Russ Dizdar. This is ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. The live course tonight. Listen, we had some crazy, that's 20 minutes tonight. I have no idea why, no idea why whatsoever. And I'm not going to give the enemy any credit. So praise the Lord tonight. I'm glad to see you tonight. Let me know for those who are in the classroom already, the chat room already, let us know if you're hearing. We are here tonight and ready to go tonight. We are on page 17. Session H, engaging demons in others and other things. So tonight we're getting ready. Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus for all that are listening, all that will listen. May your hand give just protection and blessing. And Lord, we mean this by the Spirit of God quickening us and the Word of God being just powerful in our lives. Deliver us from the enemy. God, convict us of the flesh. Give us wisdom how not to be entangled with the world around us. Father, I pray for all those listening right now live and that are here in this class tonight, that you will do a work in all of our lives and also those who are going to be listening. Listen, you listening by the archives, may the Lord Jesus strengthen and bless your lives too. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we rebuke all the demonic work and all of the attack of the enemy over lives. Lord, in extraordinary ways, we ask you to simply deliver individuals. And tonight, let your presence reign tonight. Glad to see all of you tonight. Glad to see you in the classroom, chat room tonight. Want to say welcome to all of you. Glad that we are together. We've got to get this one done. We've got part 5 and part 6 tonight to do. And if you've got the workbooks, we're on page 37. That is page 37 in the workbooks. Glad you're here. Everybody hearing? It looks like everybody's hearing loud and clear. Glad you're here. We're talking about demons on an object, and this is important because I was doing a little study yesterday in the scripture concerning this, where there was the issue of charged or what is called devoted things, the accursed, an accursed object that had to be removed. And this is in the book of Joshua, and the idea here again is when they went into the lands, and we're talking about the pagan lands where there was, you know, the worship of demons and human sacrifice, child sacrifice, all the objects, all of the symbolism, all of the ritual tools, all of the items, even the carved items to the demon god that would have been charged also. They were all to be destroyed. They were all to be gotten rid of, but some were taking these things and collecting them. And they were considered an accursed object. A object that is just to be designated for destruction. And so charged objects in the Old Testament sense, and Josiah did this very well, was there to bring destruction to these items, whether they're grinding down, and we've talked about burning items in the past. We're going to talk about that in part 5 of Session H tonight. Going to say to you tonight, welcome again. Glad you're here. Glad you waited and hung on for a little while. That was quite a bit. Welcome from Canada. You know what? I think Canada, its weather moved down here. And so we're experiencing some. I think what do you have here tonight? I don't know what it is for sure. 4 below, 7 below tonight, something like that where I'm at right now. I went out to work out the other day, and I did that at a local YMCA, and then when I got out, this was yesterday, got out, got home, I parked my vehicle, and then I had to walk across the street to get into the mailbox, grab the stuff, and I realized something's on the back of my head, because I left the YMCA, my hair was all wet. Well, the back of my hair, all of it froze. Everything froze. Pretty crazy. I just couldn't help but smile walking back to the truck to get in. Well, tonight the computer froze for a little bit, so some of you live here tonight, thank you for hanging on. Thank you for praying. We are here, and we want to go right into everything. You can get ready with some questions in a little bit. We've prayed it up, but we're on page 37 in the workbook, and we're talking about when demons are on an object. Now, there's about 5 points here. A, demonized objects. When it comes to those things, now, they can be on clothing, necklaces, Earrings, rings are a major issue. All kinds of objects that can be blessed. Now, you can look in Santeria. You can look in Palo Maombi. You can look in, Santa Muerte, the saint of death worship that's all over Mexico and South America and around the world. Now, you can see this in the New Age also in crystals where they want to charge them. Let's remember a principle tonight. Any object that people talk about that have energy on it, the energy is connected to the entity. Just like when individuals say they have abilities that spirits have given them, they have abilities that they can do things. Well, the abilities come from the demons that enable. To have the ability is to also have the demon pretty entrenched in life. But right now, objects. Now, we can talk about just three things. Nowadays, again, whether you're looking at the broad New Age on a global scale, you can look into Wicca, you can look into paganism, you can look into druids. Objects that have been used in rituals, objects that have been blessed over by shamans and others who already have spirits on them. Underground Satanists, especially in the SRA field. I mean, we're talking worldwide when we talk SRA, the Undergrounders, the Brotherhood. Now, they have no question about how to demonize objects because they are the blood and guts. They are the real Luciferians. And that's very similar if you go back to Ezekiel chapter 8, you know, what was seen inside the caves. This is very similar if you go all the way back to the book of, you can see it throughout the Old Testament, but in 2 Kings 21, 22, 23, the entire issue of Manasseh, and he opened up every door he could. It's almost as though everything that could be opened up, he did, and it led him to child sacrifice. He sacrificed his own child. And, of course, when Josiah is raised up, the word of God is read. Huldah, the prophetess, gave the word of God. And then he went out to destroy all of these objects and ritual sites and the slabs where humans would be sacrificed and the if you want to call them, idols. Now, in a real sense, idols were just dead wood, dead rock, and so forth, but many times being charged where real demons are summoned on, and again, that could be the athame, a knife that is used in ritual. Anything that's considered quote and unquote sacred in occult, you know, in occult world, specifically rituals, can be charged. And when I say charged tonight, I mean demonized. They recognize it as having power. A Satanist that I've dealt with had power rings on. They just a couple of weeks ago, doing a prayer, a deliverance, and working with somebody, they gave up for me to burn an old, highly used deck of Crowleyan tarot cards that a particular priestess used, and also a necklace that every time they put the necklace on with a little object that was the color of the stone in the object was blood red. But every time they put it on, they felt energy, they felt strong, they felt protected. Well, that was a demonic presence. So when we talk about demonic objects right now, this is where we need to think through, you know, where we've come from, what we've come out of. If you've come out of some of those areas, whether New Age or Wicca or Satanism, you've got to think in terms of the objects that were used, and you might want to get rid of those. And I would suggest not might. I mean, again, the scripture in Joshua would call them accursed objects. And the idea, again, is that they are demonized, that they would infect the Old Testament clans. See, remember, the Old Testament, they weren't born again. They didn't have authority dwelling in them. And so for them to grab highly demonized objects and to have them really opened a big door for demonization to continue. So think in terms of this, a demon on an object. And you take it and place it somewhere. No matter where you place it, the demon's on the object. The demon is there. So I'm going to read to you, if you would. This is out of Joshua chapter 7. You can take a look there in verse 13. It says, up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against Marah, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. Now this goes back to the issue of the type of thing that Achan had. But this is what they need to deal with. Now here's what, in the Old Testament, you got to understand that the presence of a demon on objects, it's highly, I mean, clearly known by the occultists, clearly known by those tribes. They would summon war gods, demons that would be their war gods. And they would do rituals to win and draw powers, like the king of Moab, who sacrificed his son so that power would come on the Moabites. And when he did that, the Moabites went into a frenzy and they defeated Israel by supernatural power on them. So there was a weaponization. But the objects are a big issue. Now, this is, again, starting in verse 10, chapter 7 in Joshua. And the Lord said to Joshua, get thee up, wherefore thou liest thou upon thy face. Well, because of the defeat, you know, there's Joshua now laying down on his face. By the way, some of us, you know, go through things and go through battle, and, you know, when we're just don't know what to, you know, we're down on the ground. And God's engaging with, get up. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I've commanded them, for they have taken of the accursed thing. That's the idea of devoted, the demonized object. And have also stolen. And listen, when you go through this list, you see the things they did. Israel messed up, they sinned, and in the context of their sin, they took a hold of demonized objects. Verse 12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Listen to what God says to them. Now here's the issue. They went out, stole things, did the wrong things. God commanded them to get rid of all of it, to destroy all of it. They didn't. They took and they stole and they acquired demonized objects. When they went to try to do battle, they lost. They had to run from their enemies. That they themselves became the accursed, the object devoted for destruction. That's what the Hebrew means. It's an object, a thing devoted for destruction. A thing that needs to be destroyed. So neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed thing among you. So take a look. This is very big when it comes to demonized objects. And again, throughout the Old Testament, you're going to find this when you reread the Old Testament. You're going to find that a lot of the things and the reasons why about destroying everything, getting rid of everything, in Josiah's day to grind everything down, and that's vital. The demonic objects and the sin of taking them completely weakened them and turned the hand of the Lord against them. They became like the objects they stole, accursed. And they were losing, and they were being defeated. And God declared, I will not go out with you. You think for a moment that God is going to walk with somebody that's acquiring demonic powers. Now listen, I want you to know that I had a discussion. And I'll never, listen, when I'm working with individual people, I will not tell their names or give clues concerning them. But we have a lot of past cases, too. But when I've talked to SRAs, that is what we call chosen ones, those who've been raised up and they've been through many rituals, they know a lot about demons, and they have powers, they have abilities. They ask me in turning to Christ all the way, will they have to give up their abilities? The answer is yes. Do you want God and his power and his charismatic gifting and his works, or do you want the demons? To have a demonically empowered ability is to have the demon. Literally, the demon has you. Need deliverance and renunciation. Some people have demons because of the rapes they've been through, the things they've done, the doors they've opened. Others because they want powers. They want abilities. Every single person that can astral project has demonic attachment, at least, that enables them to get out of the body and go out. No question. Now think about, again, if you've come out of, and again, if you think of South America, South Africa, all around the world, we are in the biblical prophetic, you know, days. We're talking about being in the end of days. We're talking about the days where more demonization in people, places, and things will occur than anywhere, anytime in all of human history. And you could look at Revelation 18 to see the future. The near future shows the culmination, the kind of the apex of Babylon, spiritual Babylon, demonized. I mean, Babylon rises and fills the earth. It has a location center, yes, but fills the earth. And the number one issue is that the demonic presence. Look at the first few verses in Revelation 18. And you're going to find that it became the home, the dwelling place, the welcomed place. So the entire system, the religious Babylonian system, that would be that's the New Age system worldwide. You have books that have been inspired by demons to be written by the hundreds now. Objects, abilities, meditations, yielding to entities, engaging entities, taking pharmakia, drugs that open gateways to the demons, and then the objects. Let me tell you something. I believe this about the objects. The demons want to get out there on those objects. Now, I've got books and books, some that we've confiscated along the years. But again, in our research, reading ritual books, whether you look in voodoo, Cantabile, you can look in all these different things and find all of them have the ability to summon demons, and they want to put demons on objects. Sometimes to leave in the house, sometimes to bury in the ground, sometimes to put a demonic power on an object with a curse and give it to somebody to bring harm to them. I would say this, that every satanic ritually abused person who has satanic priestess or priest in them that knows how to summon demons, every one of them know how to transfer demons on objects. Every one of them that we've ever met had either rings or necklaces, at the very least, that were demonized or charged objects. Because it brings a deeper hold. It's part of what I think, again, the way the demons then hold on to them. I'm looking. There's a few new folks coming in tonight. We're glad you're here. We're talking. We're in part 5 of session H, engaging demons in people and things. And we're on page 37 if you have the notes, and we're talking about demonized objects. Demonized objects, they can be cloth that have symbols on them that are used in rituals. They can be necklaces. They can be crystals. They can be objects that look like the demon god. And have you ever wondered why the objects, the way they look, if it's not the demon trying to inspire them? Like in Slender Man. See, I think Slender Man, the very object itself, is a representation of the real demon behind it. Because in Slender Man, you have fantasy, that is, writings that are, they call it fantasy writing. I don't believe it is. I believe it's charged fantasy in the sense, inspired demonically to project the demonic, the demon's attributes and abilities. To read Slender Man and the materials is to read Didache Daimonoia. It's to read the very stuff. I see a note here in the classroom. Exactly. I had all that. My father was a Hindu priest. But the final conclusion is to kill you. Interesting. Appreciate that testimony. Because in India you have, Jesu Sagamani, I met from India, that's just been there for years and has led many to Christ and done many great things. He mentioned to us when he was here that there may be up to 300 million different gods, goddesses, and so forth. You got to remember the long, long history of that area and go all the way back, and you got to understand how just filtered demonically. So you've got, objects and totems and objects, you know, the around the neck and rings and so forth. So, you know, whether it's India or whether it's Pakistan, even among Muslims, there's the issue of charged objects, the fear of the evil eye, and quite a bit there too. South Africa, South America, but I want you to know the New Age, which seems to be kind of they've tried to make it a sanitized spirituality. Okay, the island of Trinidad, West Indies. Okay, thank you, appreciate that. And family from India. Well, and the truth is, nowadays anywhere you could be in Germany. I mean, listen, Wedelsburg, Germany, the Hall of the Dead, where major rituals were done, and a castle that was going to be built and used, and from that highly spiritually charged demonic place, they're going to rule the world. They wanted to rule the world. But notice, if you look at and do any study of Wedelsburg Castle, the Himmler Castle, the Hall of the Dead, Valhalla, they called it, and the Black Sun symbol, which was supposed to be the gateway between the worlds. Now, here's what most don't understand, that there may have been many charged objects. Let me also mention archaeologists that are all over the world digging up things. What about the ones digging up Nephilim sites, the old ziggurats, Chichen Itza, and all of the old Mayan sites? So you've got archaeologists all over the world digging and finding places. And when they find ritual centers, now there was a story I read about Wedelsburg Castle that archaeologists had found there on the grounds, that below the grounds, the Saxons were once there, that human sacrifice was done. And here's what they said, that Neanderthal skulls, big-headed skulls, were found there in the grounds, and maybe even right under the castle, of where Wedelsburg Castle, the place that was spiritually selected to be the place where Himmler and Hitler and the Nazis would rule the world, the entire world would be ruled from that spiritual center. Now, I've been there. It's one of the darkest places I've ever been. When I came around the corner, beautiful countryside in Germany, beautiful houses in Germany, beautiful people that we met all over. But as I come around the kind of like a turn in the countryside, all of a sudden off in the distance, you see Wedelsburg Castle. And when I saw Wedelsburg Castle, it was absolutely dark and ominous, and you know, unless somebody goes in there to kick out all the demonic stuff and get rid of all the objects and to either cleanse or, in my view, destroy the ritual chambers, any place that have had human sacrifice, you don't save it for history. You don't save it to make a museum, because influence can still be there. And again, this is what happens when archaeologists and others and many, many who have never known, you go into old, you know, even people visiting lands all over the world, they don't know. They go into temples, they go into what are considered sacred sites, and they find all kinds of things. And you're exactly right. I'm looking at a note here, the crystal skulls, the 13. Hey, by the way, one of the crystal skulls that was named Max was in a New Age bookstore in California for years. And here's what happened. People would come from all over to sit and meditate and go passive because they were waiting for the energy and the communication they felt was ancient knowledge inside the crystal skull, that it would come to them, that the skulls would actually speak to them. If you've seen any specials on the crystal skulls, you'll watch people bowing to them, kissing them, putting their hand on them, meditating, putting them under a pyramid-shaped structure to gain more power. And the crystal skulls are simply demonized objects, charged objects. And when you take one charged object and you add it to another, add it to another, add it to another, Interesting. Yes, I'm looking at a few questions here. Let me just touch on a few, because this is very important, because there's a lot of believers right now that, you know, you've left the New Age, you've left Wicca, you left what you were once into, but you got to make sure you've checked everything to get rid of even things handed down by grandmothers and grandfathers and objects in masonry, among the Rosicrucian, you know, things that are, you know, charged objects, whether it's a sword, a knife, an apron, you know, the cuffs, jewelry. If they're charged objects, listen, I'm going to tell you again what we need to do with them, but quickly to say that, you know, we need to destroy them and burn them and get rid of them so they can never be used again. The neat thing is now you can pray over them. Let me tell you one story. We are engaging and witnessing to individuals at a bowling alley in Wadsworth, Ohio, who are saying that they are gray Wiccans, that there's a battle between darker Wiccans and the lighter ones. There's a big spiritual battle going on between them or whatever. And this one girl had a thing around her neck that said it was her protection. One of our guys said, well, he can pray over that. He reached to grab a hold of the necklace, and the individual that had the necklace on went went off on him, and they grabbed their necklace and pulled it away from him, wouldn't let him touch it, and then literally, you know, ran down the hall and did not want anybody to pray or touch or do anything to the energy on that object they were wearing. Well, it wasn't energy. They might have felt energy, but the energy is what is emanating from the entities, the demons. The demons manifest presence, whether on an object or in a person or in a location. Another case, I'm in a police car with an individual who is a chosen one. They have a demon. They pulled out an object that is demonized, had some kind of stone. Now, here's what occurred. They pulled it out, and I think they pulled it out to kind of test me. And they said, here, you want to hold it? They wanted me to hold their demonized object. Well, as my hand went to grab it, I'm already praying and rebuking inwardly. And when I grabbed it, I prayed out loud in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bind right now any presence on this and any reasons for that presence, any rituals done, any way the demons put. I command the demonic presence off of this in the name of Jesus and render your abilities powerless, something like that. The individual looked at me shocked. They pulled back their object, and they weren't happy. It changed colors. The stone changed colors, and they said it's no longer alive. It's no longer hot. It's no longer what? Got energy, a demon on it? So I do believe that demons can be prayed off of objects, but hear me very carefully. I believe the object still is an accursed thing. Joshua 7, please understand, for any believer to keep an accursed, a demonized object, because it's sentimental, because it's part of the past, because it's historic, because whatever. Well, look again in Joshua 7. Verse 10 on down, and they became powerless. They became weakened. They, you know, the hand of the Lord was against. So you do not want to go get a pentagram that has been used in ritual and think, well, I'm going to pray off any demons because it's a pretty neat looking thing. I'm going to wear it around my neck. You know, you surely don't want to do that. You know, when I see those kind of demonized objects, my first thing is, you know, pray against the demonic stuff on it or anything to do with it, but I want to get that thing, and I want to destroy it. I really do, because the harm that could be there. A demonized object brought into a room, left there long enough, the demon is there. The demon has a certain level of right, and if it's an object that someone has put a demon on to curse you, to bring you harm, has given the demonic presence an assignment attaching it to an object, well, you know, that's part of the idea of cursing and hexing and ritualized objects. Let me go back here real quick to a couple of the questions I saw up already, I think. And thank you. I'm just taking a look here real quick. Tracing bloodlines of the Nephilim. I saw that. I'm having to go back here a little bit to catch that. Do you know of any of the Nephilim bloodline earlier than the flood? There, you know, again, some of the extra biblical writings, you can read about them. Jazer, and there's a number of books that are out there right now that are all considered not pseudepigraphic, but apocryphal and so forth. And some of the old materials, stuff in Sumer and things like that. So there is stories about it. I think there's more afterwards, specifically the biblical Immims and Zamzumis, and you can see an entire line. But remember, when it comes to the bloodlines, they try to keep that extremely quiet, and many of those, well, all of the satanic ritually abused worldwide believe they come from a bloodline that goes all the way back. And I haven't done other than just basic connections of this, but if you look at the genealogy of Jesus in the Gospels, you find that his bloodline, the bloodline goes all the way back to Adam, demonstrating a pure and absolutely human bloodline. Now, I'm going to give you my opinion. My opinion is that the Antichrist who will be born will be from the fallen cherub himself, interacting with a woman whose bloodline may go all the way back and be highly charged and highly demonized and highly prepared for the cause of conception. Counterfeit to the real incarnation and conception, real incarnation, I believe the Antichrist is Homo Satanus. That from the DNA up, there is a fallen cherub to prepared, demonized, bloodlined woman, kind of the satanic Madonna in a sense, and the cause. Now, that's opinion. I'm sharing my opinion on this based on the biblical teaching that everything God does, everything God has, is counterfeited by the enemy. Counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles. Counterfeit writings, counterfeit apostles, counterfeit, you know, everything. And so I believe that the incarnation, where God, the Holy Spirit, touched the female egg and caused the conception, in which we have perfect God in human flesh, well, the counterfeit of that's going to be the fallen cherub, in my opinion. The fallen cherub causing, he's a spirit, causing the conception. And if you ask me how that's done, I can't explain that. But the Holy Spirit caused it in Mary. And I believe, in my opinion, the fallen cherub will cause it in the prepared woman. To the very conception is the conceiving of the what we call the Antichrist. I would call Homo Satanus. Another question here, Russ, do you know anything about the rituals they were doing for the crystal skulls? Well, some of them, and many of them were the Mayans and others. You know, they took them from, I believe, Manhattan, New York, all the way somewhere into South Los Angeles, all across the nation. They came into Ohio. Guess where they went when they came into Ohio? The Circle Mound. The Mounds of the Giants, right there in Newark, Ohio. By the way, let me let the cat out of the bag. We're going to do Nephilim Mounds number 3. Ellie Marzulli, myself, Chief Joseph, powerful Christian from the Cherokee tribe, he's going to be speaking. And it's going to be down in Newark, Ohio. It's going to be in the second week of September, and we'll let you know more about that. But they brought the crystal skulls to the mounds to receive, maybe even to release, but they were there to go and to draw energies into the crystal skulls. If there are demons in old ritual sites, old ritual places, and you go there and you do rituals and summon them into the objects, they will come. And there's all kinds. Again, the most powerful would be blood-oriented rituals that are done. Yeah. When I mentioned earlier, too, about Nephilim, I mean, I've read Enoch. I believe it's the prophecy of Enoch, but not Scripture. And I've read Jasser, and there's a whole listing of other writings that do mention the giants. You can read them and look at them. It's interesting material. But I think the Scripture, the Spirit of God selected distinctly what he needed to, you know, what God wanted to be put there about them. And that's where you have to begin and end in Scripture, even though we can look in other places. Okay? Even though we can look in other places. Scripture becomes the final grid for all of it. So demonized objects, a couple of things, like you can do this through your house. You can go through your house, through your barns, through your jewelry, through all the stuff handed down from parents and grandparents and all the rest. Just pray, discern, and ask. That's all. You can just begin to pray. Lord, is there any objects that I have around? Now again, I'm going to tell you about a current case that we are on. And I can't mention any names whatsoever, okay? But this is absolutely true when I say that the individual is willing to give up a ring, a monarch ring that involves rank and power. That's all I can say about this. And the individual was asking me just lately whether, you know, they can get it back. And they had written to me today. I can't go into saying. I just don't feel like I can go into saying. But ultimately, I said, listen, you gave it, and it was designated for destruction. It's an accursed object. It's a demonized object. It's an object. Go look at the Hebrew word there in Joshua chapter 7, verse 10 down, when it comes to the accursed thing. And you're going to find that it's an object in God's view. It's an object that should be devoted to destruction. It should be done, you know, it's there for that purpose. Destroy it. Matter of fact, I'm going to go there right now real quick. If you look at Joshua 7:12, and again, because they took these demonized objects, they could not fight any longer. They had demonized objects. And these objects among them, God withdrew. A cherim. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly because I'm looking at it here. In a transliteration, cherem. A cherim, a cursed thing. Let me read it again, another definition. Here comes another definition. A cherim was, if you go down the road a little bit on the actual word, a charim. A doomed object. It's doomed for extermination. It is a dedicated thing, but it's also to be, you know, it's a devoted thing. So you got to understand what this thing is that they grabbed a hold of, and we've got to understand, you know, now as believers that we're going to see and have been seeing more and more and more of the objects. So if individuals find... if they find objects in places, let me tell you this too. Law enforcement, and since the 90s on specifically, and a lot of the actual cases where they caught, you know, those with rituals, and they took the bones, the skulls, the rituals. Jeffrey Dahmer had a power cone. It's a triangle shape built out of human thigh skulls, and he had a altar built out of human thigh bones. And in law enforcement, they might put them in a confiscation room. Wherever they're put, they're still, if they're charged objects, they're still charged until they are destroyed. And you know, again, with us with authority, when Jesus said, and here's what I've learned along the way, when Jesus said, "I've given you authority over all, to trample, tread upon the serpents and the, you know, those are figures of the demons, to tread, to trample on them, and to overcome," the Greek word Nike, to have decisive victory over all the power of the enemy. Well, I found out that means all of it, on demonized objects, wherever else. I have watched where, you know, really heavily trained ritual undergrounders, you know, in the one case where I, you know, grabbed the object and prayed over it. Now, please understand, I wouldn't grab the object and just hold on to it because there's demonic presence on it. So let me tell you something. No more. You'll notice also through the Gospels, overwhelmingly, Jesus never touched demonized people. They never in the book of Acts, they didn't touch demonized people. They commanded the demons to come out. They might have given them a hug after they gotten saved. I've done that many times. Demons come out, they get saved, Spirit of God comes in. I have no problem giving them a hug to my new brother, my new sister in Christ. Not at all. Let me go back here. Shane's got a question up. Russ, how concerned should you be about a backlash from the enemy? Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to be very honest. Because we do this in a particular way and go after things, there's no question that we have got backlash. I believe that. I believe that those ritual workers that knew that we were helping victims, they've done rituals against us. But I also believe if you hit the beehive, you know, if you really strike the demons sometimes, and so we've learned along the way then to cover ourselves. After deliverances, and I'll talk about this in pitfalls down a few more sessions, after you do deliverance and do these things and so forth, instead of going home and waking up 3 hours later with some kind of attack at your house, clear the air. Be preemptive. Clear the air ahead of time. Someone's asking a question, what symbol's on the ring? A monarch butterfly. And that's just one of numerous rings over the years. The power rings that were left in my office by a SRA, by a Satanist, they came in. They just unannounced one day, came in, wanted to talk for a few minutes, sat down. As they got up and left, it's like the Spirit of God was saying, this is not the real reason. They didn't come here to talk to you. I knelt down by the couch and began to pray. I looked over to the right, and stuffed into my couch were the two black, shiny, there was no symbol. They were just black. I don't know what kind of material it was. It wasn't metal. So it was some kind of onks or something where they were demonized objects shoved into my couch in my pastoral office. Well, I grabbed them, prayed over them. Now, I did anoint them. You don't have to anoint them, but I don't know. I anointed and I prayed over them, put them in a baggie, prayed over everything the Lord led me to pray over them. I prayed, and then I contacted the person a couple days later. So you missing something? I told him what I did, I wasn't about to give them back. Yeah, if you think in terms of Skull and Bones, you think in terms of Bohemian Grove, you think in terms of any of those places, the Bones of Jerimo, yes, listen, the Hands of Glory ritual done in September when they cut the hands off the victim, they usually take some type of herbs, put over them, put them in bags, put them under the ground. Well, they kind of petrify the hands, demonize them in rituals, and have them on their altar to be the Hands of Glory, Hands of Power. And the power specifically in some cases for the Hands of Glory ritual is to give them the powers of invisibility to cover them. Rituals being done by those in the Saint of Death down in Mexico and the priest and priestesses is to bless and to protect. They do rituals against police officers. So just like you would pray for the advance of the kingdom of God, you would pray for blessing on believers, you would pray for protection on believers, they've got rituals that they do to pray for the advance of the drug trade, the advance of their cause, to pray to release ritual powers over their workers and over and against officers and on and on and on. They're using supernatural powers just like they did in the Old Testament. And remember this, too, when it comes to the monarch butterfly, Satan doesn't own a monarch. It's a beautiful butterfly. And owls are not owned by, and frogs are not owned by Satan. But just about every, animal and, little creature throughout the millennia have been snakes and frogs and scorpions and spiders and owls and goats and Bacchus the bull and bull, and then there's you can look at an ox. I mean, all these things can be turned into and claimed by the dark side. They're claimed and used as their symbols, and this is what we find out in first chapter of the Romans, the book of Romans, verse 18 on down, where they exchange the glory of God for the finite things that they turned into objects of worship. Okay? Very important. Now, listen, if you have any questions along the way, I am thinking about, we've got a lot of things going on here. When I'm done with the four conferences, I'm just saying that we're really considering by May turning this broadcast on Tuesday nights into 3 hours so we'll have more time together. I do apologize that there was a problem in the beginning. 20 minutes was lost, but we might be able to do this longer, pray longer, and fellowship together. You know, the neat thing for believers like you and I, you could be in England and Australia and Canada and here and all over, and we get to fellowship together, we get to pray together, and that's a powerful thing. Don't forget, though, the other side knows how to do this, too. The other side, and this is if they're not just that they're there doing it for themselves. There's a website, a string of satanic websites on one of their pages. I don't want to give the address out, but it has a page on how to learn to do warfare against Christians. And it starts out by saying Christians have been learning spiritual warfare, so you know basically we need to learn our warfare and what we need to do. They know how to summon demons and send them. They know how to summon demons and put it on an object. They know how to summon demons and put it in a person. They know how to summon a demon and have a demon to be the demon of a temple, the small g, gods of a temple. And the more of a demonized place, and specifically when it was Nephilim, when you have Nephilim sight, when you have a Nephilim site, I don't have time right here. I want you to do, if someone would do something for me that's listening, would you look up in Nashville, Tennessee, they have a replica of the, I think it's the Parthenon, and Athena or Diana on the inside. If anybody can find that, we also ask you, and we encourage you mostly not to put up links because we don't know where the links go all the time. We ask that you don't, or to promote things because we just don't know where they all go, and we don't know all of them. But I'm asking if someone could look up Athena, Diana, the temple that has been built in Nashville. I've been there. This may relate to Nephilim in the Greek, among the Greeks, where the godmen were, and the Titans and so forth. So when you look, when I was first taken into that temple, I went down there, and I had a family member take me into it. Right, it's called the Parthenon. Thank you. If you got a link for that particular thing, Shane, go ahead and put that up in the classroom here. And you guys, if you want to take a look at it and take a look on the inside, look how huge. They had doors that I don't know if they were 30 foot high or what. And so when we went into the, I had a family member say, oh, I want to show you the museum. Well, they did. And you look at the Parthenon, and then you look at the actual, you know, Athena, her head. Look at the objects on her head. Look at the objects on I'm trying to find back here where I was. You're going to find that it's just incredible. I saw wrapped around her arms and hands, demons and so forth. It's almost like the Nephilim knew to have charged objects all over them, and they knew to have that empowered them. So I believe in my study of the Nephilim that they understood that human sacrifice had to be done constantly. Thank you. Appreciate you getting that up there, guys. Because when you look at that, I believe you're, you know, in my view, I'm just giving you my view anyway, just that you may actually see the concept of a Nephilim. You also have the half man, half horse entities there also. So you have a mixture there. A 42-foot statue of Athena. And you remember what happened in the book of Acts? Remember what happened in the book of Acts when Paul cast a demon out? I mean, this was affected all across. They came after him big time. Here's a note inside the chat room here. Wizards use those hands too. I know of a man who had someone who broke into his house and went into the news, giving $5,000 reward for his hands of power. You're right. And again, you can, nowadays you can look at the very basic satanic ritual abuse calendar. Look at the dates. look at the kinds of rituals, what they're named. And in September, you're going to find the Hands of Glory. We were called in on a case in Akron. The girl, they never found the, to this day, I think it's about 15 years later, they've never found the hands. Now, again, there are going to be those that don't believe any of it. They just think it's hocus pocus. But if you believe the Word of God, first of all, if you believe the Word of God, you've got to understand that the Word of God, it reveals this all through the Old Testament, shows it in the New, shows it in the book of Acts when they're out there evangelizing. And see, they didn't go out looking for demons. We don't go out looking for demons either. They were out evangelizing and ministering, and when they engaged demonized people in those places, they just did the ministry, regardless in the one place where it caused a riot. When it comes to goddesses and gods that are in temples, that are the power centers of local cities, you know, Berlin has a big problem. They brought the seat of Satan from Pergamum right there into their city. A temple dedicated to Zeus, very, very high up. Some think that he might even be related, in a sense, Satan himself. But you got entities that are among the fallen angels, Cosmocrator. Remember these terms out of the book of Ephesians 6? Cosmocrator, Archon, Exousia, Porneus Numenikai, or in 1 Timothy 4:1, Planos. The Spirit of God is clearly outing them, designating, showing the species among the demons. Remember when Jesus said, this type comes out only with prayer and fasting? Type. The word type is species. The particular, you know, like dogs, you know, you can have, we had a dog years ago, thought he was some kind of Doberman Pinscher attack dog. He was a mix between a Jack Russell and a Chihuahua. He barked as loud, if he was behind a door and he barked, you would think you had a huge Doberman Pinscher behind the door. He's a species of dogs. Poodles are Rottweilers. I remember the guy that took me to his kennel walked around. He told me to walk around the corner. There's a kennel that went 12 feet high, and when I went around the corner, the Rottweiler come running up and jumped higher than my head. He would have had my head if there was no fence. And my friend that took me there thought it was pretty funny as I backwards away from the Rottweiler. It's good to have fences. God gives us a shield. 1 Peter chapter 1, we are shielded, guarded. Look at that little Greek word there. Guarded by God's power through faith in Christ. We are shielded. Put up the shield of faith, right? Well, let's go into a few questions on this subject right now. Pray and discern and ask around concerning objects around your house. I was with one of our team workers today. Maybe he's here listening tonight. And we were driving back to his house, and he stopped me where, down the street where he lives, a Wiccan has a maypole and then has all kinds of charged, would be considered relating to God's demon, God's spirits, entities, all over the yard. The whole place has now become an attraction. Because when you put objects and do spells and you go outside and do spells and you do all these things, if it's a local house in a neighborhood, this is a local house in a neighborhood where kids walk right down the street and they can, you know, right from the where they walk on the sidewalk, you know, 5 feet away are some of the statues that represent spirits. And guess which one they had? A small statue of Athena. Right there, today, in the yard. Absolutely, the Asherah poles, and if you remember the study again with 2 Kings 22:23, Manasseh, they went. Listen, they won't stop. They were inside the temple of God. That's how far this corruption occurred. They were making the Asherah poles and symbols, and they even put the symbols of horses on the doors of the temple of God. If you read the backdrop to the story of Josiah, God was ready to wipe it all out. He said those Israelites became worse than the demon-worshipping nations around them. I mean, they just went hog wild. And Manasseh, the leader, sacrificed and killed his own child in a torturous death to Moloch. So you're going to find this. A friend of mine sent me a picture that in one of the cities in Indiana, they had Pan. The demon entity Pan itself as a public statue on their political grounds.
When
Obama spoke, you know, it was a recreation of that. Yeah, absolutely. When Obama spoke, not only did he do that here in the United States when he did that speech, and the backdrop looked, again, it was a throne and considered a temple of a god. He also spoke at the steps of Pergamum in Germany, in Berlin. Now, whether he did that or his team set it up that way, to associate him that way, was really, I'm more wary now than I ever have been of who this person really is. And with that, let me say tonight, as we're talking to you and those who are listening to the training, we are on page 37, session H. We're on the subject of demons on an object. We're asking you to go through your home and garage and family stuff, and you can pray, discern, and ask. If you become aware of demonized objects or something you think that is, one, you could pray against any demonic presence on it. And then I would say this, based on 2 Kings 23:24, destroy it. Some think that just, you know, burying it's okay. No, I don't think burying the object. This is what happened in all those temples where they were, you know, flooded before the flood and, you know, places that were destroyed. Well, people went back and began to dig up, and they found objects. That's why Josiah had the mindset of grinding them down to powder and making latrines and dumping it into latrines so that people wouldn't even go after the dust. It'd be sacred dust, sacred little pebbles. So I would say, when it comes to demon, and listen, I believe that Christians can understand that warfare involves those who will bring charged objects in a church to bring some kind of warfare battle, or give you, or give a pastor. In satanic ritual abuse, when it comes to chosen ones, in 30-some years, I've met, they all, when I get down to cult parts, they all know how to do this. It's part of the infiltration. When they're infiltrating a church, included in the rituals done from the coven towards the church, sending the chosen one in during the service to pray and to release demons during the service, but to give demonized objects that will create sickness, that will create headaches, that will create confusion, that will, whatever they want. If they're summoning a demon to create division, summoning a demon to create, trouble with wealth, you know, with financing, they can do that. Where I taught a course on this years ago, just like I'm doing here now, in a local church, the pastor had me with a large team of about 20 people, most of them the students of the class, because the church was built on grounds where they were doing satanic rituals, Canton, Ohio. The story goes, a young girl naked running out of the woods, there was a ritual going on. She was being used. Now, they had law enforcement come in. They got, you know, all that kind of cleared out, they thought. But they believed that some of the Satanists came into the church to curse it. So they wanted a large team to go through every hallway, every room, all the grounds, pray over everything, and anoint it and set it apart for God's use. Interesting. The horse in front of the Defense Intelligence Agency is blue and with red glowing eyes. Oh, man. I got on the plane after speaking in Montana at the Whitestone Conference. As I began to set down, someone behind me spoke my name. It was a soldier, a woman, a female soldier, sitting next to the female soldier. Maybe they're listening tonight. I don't know. I asked him who he is. He gave me his card. He was there at the conference from Maryland, from the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency. I can't go into the whole story, but pretty interesting that an active worker from the Defense Intelligence Agency came to the Whitestone Conference in Montana. Become aware of the objects, and if you are given objects by individuals, if you feel wary, if you feel strange about them, then you're going to want to give them up. You want to pray over them. It's better to be safe. You heard the phrase, better to be safe than sorry. Better to be spiritually aware. All this information you're getting right now goes back to our foundational study on the five A's: awareness, alert, authority, armor, action. Interesting. Let me think about this. There's a question here in the classroom tonight. Have you ever experienced objects being thrown at you? I'm not sure about demonized objects. Other things, spit at by a demonized person. I didn't even want that spit on me. I just didn't. Either way, demonized or non-demonized, I didn't want that person to spit on me. Interesting. All right, listen, as we're looking tonight, let me ask you if there's a few questions. I want to touch on page 37 in part 5 of H is when demons are in a house. So if you have any other questions on the objects issues, as a matter of fact, I might take a picture of some of the objects that just in the last 2 weeks doing deliverances were turned over willingly by the individuals. I may take pictures of them and put them up. But please understand, our issue is to do what Josiah did, and that is to destroy the objects that have been, I believe, again, they're charged objects, and they should be devoted to destruction. And they're devoted to cause destruction. Some believers who might be feeling sick and things, and you went to a flea market, to a New Age shop, you didn't know about it. And some Christians have done this. They didn't know. There are missionaries who have been given in India, other places, Asia, given objects. You didn't know. They were representations of demon gods, and they were blessed by priests and shamans and others, and they're charged. If they're charged, they can. There's no question the demon on it knows whether you're a Christian and wants to bring trouble to you. It's like bringing a toxic item into your house, a toxic item put into your pocket, a toxic item wore around your finger or wore around your neck or put on your front porch. Question is here, is there a real difference between idols and charged objects, seeing the principle relies on covenants? There's no, because larger idol issues deal with people's total worship, total adoration, where they're bringing food and food plates and all the way to the point of bringing babies and so forth. So when there's a dedication to an object that represents the demon. And this is why I'm going to bring up again Slender Man. You know, the pictures that you see, now it's my opinion, I believe the picture itself is the demon behind the writers, you know, the person that made the picture, has literally put a picture of itself out there. It's meant to look ominous and scary, and then the writings to be connected, the attributes of Slender Man are the exact same attributes of Satan. And if it's charged writings, that is, demon-inspired writings, then kids reading it can open the door to demonic presence, like the two 13-year-olds that literally got in their heads. And again, I believe spiritually were guided to go try to kill their 12-year-old friend. Sacrifice a 12-year-old. Look what the demons do through charged fantasy writings. Comes from a demon, it leads to destruction. That's why God was always, you know, get rid of it, destroy it, burn it, the books, whatever. Question. Can demons come off charged objects? Oh, and also, okay, well, if they're on, listen, this, I think this is what you're saying. If a demon is on a charged object, can they help pull out people from, a Christian out of their bodies as they sleep? I believe this without question. They can sure try, and they do. I have numerous stories of believers coming in saying, man, it felt like something pressed down on me. Again, in sleep paralysis, which we're going to go into on page 37 of your notes, the very first one, A, is sleep paralysis. It's really a demonic visitation. So the idea of sleep paralysis, we should call it dark intrusion or just simply demonic visitation. And a demonic visitation, one, two things we've found out now in all of these, doing these for now, you know, almost two decades and doing more and more of them than ever, and coming to homes where parents would bring us to homes where kids were being terrified to even sleep in a room. So here's what we found out ultimately when it comes to the so-called sleep paralysis. The demon wants to paralyze a person into fear, which thrusts them into passivity, so they can begin to engage them. Number one, they want to engage them sexually because I believe then they can get a deeper grip on their personality, on their whole soulical side. They can actually get a deeper grip. That's why they want to do that. They want to raise energies. Fear and so forth can help them gives access and gives way to them. But if they can, in sleep paralysis, it seems like the ultimate goal is they want to have sex with the person, which will then bring a bond. The demon will then really be able to attach. And then the next thing is that we've found out, many, many people said, it felt like they were trying to pull me out of my body. A lot of the SRAs and others and Wiccans and stuff have told us that, you know, the entity did pull them out of the body. So it's very clear to us in the dealing with, you know, sleep paralysis issues, and the stories. Now, I've read books written by, you know, not believers, too. I've read, there's a book called Dark Intrusions, written a pretty good description of sleep paralysis. But the answer wasn't there. How do you get rid of it? Well, a very, very, you know, number one, yes, in the name of Jesus, I command you, get out of here. You will not come back. You've got to order them all the way. But one thing I would do in sleep paralysis is pray to find out how they got there in the first place. What's the access? And a lot of Christians have beat themselves up wondering if they did something. It might be somebody that somebody else that lived in the house before you. Somebody that came into the house that gave you a gift, an object that was charged, and it's in your jewelry box or in your closet. Or someone that knows you that is astral projecting and coming out to you. Do you know what a SRA, richly abused person, demonized individual, told me today? Today, sitting in a mall, and they may be listening tonight, and there's no way I will give up any other clues about them, no possibility, but it's pertinent. They looked right at me and said they had astraled out to my house. But they did say there was something there that stopped them. Anyone in the SRA underground by the millions worldwide know how to astral out, empowered. They'll, even if they say it's an energy that enables them to do it, well, the energy, just like I have the power, the felt energy of the Holy Spirit in leading the soul win, in the context of deliverance and praying for healing, in the joy of the Lord, I feel the manifest power of God. Demons can have a manifest power. That's why we read in Luke 10. I've given you authority to trample on the demonic side, to overcome all the, what? The power of the enemy. So I do believe that. I believe that if there's rituals done in the room, in whatever level, any kind of ritual that opened the door for a demon to come in, or if there's a demonized object, Or if a person or a kid is reading demonized, charged writings, fantasies, games, and so forth in their room. If they're playing Dungeons and Dragons and other things that call upon, I mean, in one of the levels of Dungeons and Dragons, the names of the entities are listed in the Satanic Bible. They're calling on the same entities. For all the Christians, listen for this for a second here. All of us understand what it means. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved, right? Whosoever calls in the name of the Lord, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, the Savior, shall be saved. We're to pray in his name, right? We're to rebuke demons in his name. It works the same way on the other side. You call on a demon, you call on a demon god, you call on them, they come. That's why some of them look up demons, and they look up for a particular kind of demon. They want a particular kind of demon to summon, a particular type of demon to call upon, to gain powers, or to summon, to send after somebody. Another question here really quick. Thank you, Andy. Does fear give them, the demons, a legal right to do a work? Yeah, at a certain level. Fear does do that. I'll put it this way. Fear long enough and deep enough can really give room to enemies harassing believers even. So if you read in Ephesians chapter 4 about where the Spirit of God tells us, you know, when it comes to anger, don't let the sun go down in your anger, give the devil a foothold. By hanging on to anger long enough and strong enough, you will give the devil a topon. That's the Greek word. The idea of a legal right to attach, to harass you, not possess you, but to begin to engage, you know, to really harass you. So I think that fear, long enough, strong enough, can. You've heard people talk about the spirit of fear, I cast out the spirit of fear. Demons can help create fear, which puts a believer into passivity. For a believer, faith and fear cannot be there at the same time. Faith lifted up, the shield of faith lifted up, faith lifted up strengthens you. And when you're living in faith, you know, everything's yes. Christ is here. The word of God is true. God is, you know, here. The Spirit of God operates through your faith. We receive all by, you know, reception of faith, you know, but manifest in obedience. That's why we're called and commanded in Scripture not to be afraid. Fear is a snare, it says in Proverbs, when it comes, you know, fear of men is a snare. Joshua 1:9, read Joshua 1:9, that's my key verse. My wife bought me a little thing that I used to carry, it had that verse written on it. Joshua 1:9, commanded not to fear, not to be discouraged. Because, let me tell you this, being discouraged and being depressed and having some fear doesn't mean there's demons automatically. You know, people can get depressed and discouraged about issues and things in life. But I'm going to say this in spiritual warfare. The longer a real believer sits in depression, sits in discouragement, sits in fear, the more you grieve the Holy Spirit on the one end, and you leave room for the devil to come and the demons to come to harass you and to bring oppression on top of your depression. Some people have depression and oppression connected. So it's not just rebuking the demons to get out of here in the name of Jesus, get away from me and clear the air. It's also saying, Lord, I've been living in fear. I've been living in doubt. James 1 says the doubter, they're not going to receive anything. They're going to be weak. And God wants to call us, so he commands us. We're told this in Timothy too, right? We've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power, dunamis, the expressed, felt power. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus right now for everyone listening, I pray for the felt power, the dunamis of the Spirit of God in that believer. God, I thank you that we are temples of the Spirit of God. You were to give us to be clothed with power from on high. There's no greater power. Lord Jesus, we receive, we acknowledge the power of the Holy Spirit. We acknowledge your power and your presence. We acknowledge 2 Peter chapter 1, that your divine power, dunamis, has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Father, I pray for every believer to be refreshed and strengthened and reclothed and inundated with the power of the Holy Spirit as spoken in the last chapter of Luke, as spoken by you, Lord Jesus, in the gospel or in the book of Acts, chapter 1. I pray for power. We read it in Psalm 68, summon your power, O God. Show us your strength as you have done before. God, we pray for all the believers listening right now in this classroom and for all the believers listening through the archives. God, we just simply pray, Lord, we open up to you. We renounce fear. We renounce living in fear. We renounce living in passivity. In the name of Jesus, we renounce this right now. And we put our trust in you and we step out in obedience. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke and command every spirit that brings fear, that brings oppression, that brings discouragement. Get out in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I acknowledge you. And I stand up before you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, and I declare my faith right now. Thank you. Walk in truth. God has up here Psalm 6. I love it. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. Isn't it great that we don't have to live alone, that we got God to seek and to look to and to ask and the ever-present help in time of trouble, right? Isn't it great to know that he never left us, never forsaken us, and that he's here? That greater is he, God the Holy Spirit, dwelling in you. You ever read 1 John 4:4? Why is that even in there? Because they were being inundated by the early Gnostics and those who had spirits and had demons and had guidance of those spirits, and they were being literally invaded. And so in the book of 1 John, he says, I'm writing these things to you concerning those who are trying to lead you astray. The Spirit of God was aiming the writings of 1 John to help them in the concepts of spiritual warfare, to know where to stand in the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and to know the difference between the spirit of error and the spirit of truth, the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of God. We should know the difference experientially. So, Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. We acknowledge that you have triumphed over, disarmed, and weighed to lace the principalities and powers by triumphing over them by the cross. We acknowledge the blood of the Lamb tonight and pray that even as others will listen to the archived MP3, we ask the power of God to lead individuals to salvation. Come to Christ if you don't know him. Come to him right now. He's here right now. He's right where you are. We're still in that day of salvation, the day of God's favor, that right now God summons you and calls you to come to Christ. Every one of us can be confident about sharing the powerful gospel of Jesus. The God's power is in the gospel. The Holy Spirit, he'll do his work of convicting, convincing, and so forth. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. He'll come in with power, forgiveness, new life, new destiny, washing, cleansing. Now let's renounce all demons and everything we've been involved with. And let's go to find any objects. I did this 40 years ago when I got saved. When the old temple that I went to as a practicing golden Buddhist meditator, and all the other objects and things on my wall and everything, I burned it all. Nobody told me to. I felt led, and I burned all of it. And I believe this, it really put a separating, it's like I burned my bridges to the past, and all I had was Christ, the Spirit of God, and to go forward. Yeah, you're right. I believe that. Thank you. Walking truth. Listen, and somebody wrote me the other day, a lady wrote me the other day, can a Christian be possessed by a demon? And the answer is not possessed and owned like a non-Christian. We call it attachment. Oppression and attachment and attack can occur to a believer, okay? Russ, what was going on in these two cases? Let me see here. Let me look at this. I watched deliverance from a Christian lady who was abused as a child, now is 35 years old. She manifested. It was interesting to say the least and surprising because this was an old demon from childhood. I thought a Christian could not be possessed. Now, here's what I'm going to say again. I don't believe a believer is, again, when you're born again, Romans 8, that your spirit, the Spirit of God comes into you and you're born again from the inside out. Your human spirit is made alive to God. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're a child of God. So you're born again with the Spirit of God coming in, Christ coming in. And then sanctification is where we are led to throw out any other misdeeds of the body, Romans 8, and everything else. And if specifically in the multiplicity issues or buried trauma, I believe demons can hang on to buried trauma and or subpersonalities. That's coming next week, or the next week after that, rather, when we deal with complex issues. Okay? So I don't believe that they're possessed and owned body, soul, and spirit. But I do believe that, Christians that have a past deep in the occult, or when an SRA gets saved and they have subparts left, and I do believe that spirits can have an aspect of a person. They can get on the anger, they can get on the lust, they can get on the fear, they can get on areas, and especially trauma, buried trauma issues. It may look similar, but I believe that they don't have control of the person's human spirit. They might have a grip, like an animal that reaches outside of its cage and grabs on to a person's arm. They don't have the whole person, but they have a little aspect. We call that attachment. So I believe believers can get an attachment, not ownership. And that's what we call it anyway, and it's kind of a reference to Ephesians 4 when the Spirit of God says, don't give them a topon, don't give them a legal right, don't give them a foothold, don't give them something to land on, don't give them something to hold on to. Well, listen, we have 63 minutes to this first, we call this part 5, and I'm going to close this off. And I'm going to give you, let's just take 1 minute or 2 minutes, go get a drink of water and go to the restroom. And whilst anybody's needing to go to the restroom or get a drink of water, what I'm going to do is this. I am going to try to answer. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to answer any other questions. Then we have about 20 minutes left to do a little bit more on the same subject of the visitation of demons. So grab some coffee. I've got a little green tea here, actually, from earlier today. It's cold now. It's nice and cold. I'm down in a basement area where the back window's behind me. I could feel the cold coming through. Shane is correct. The scripture cannot be broken. Good word up there, 2 Corinthians 6:15. And what accord hath Christ with Belial? What fellowship? What koinonia? None. Of course not. What does light have to do with darkness? You can't mix them. And so those who are in SRA and those who are in the New Age, maybe you've been given abilities by demons and you can see things and feel things. And listen, when we talk about Wiccans and others that I can see the dead, who enables you to see the dead? When you get saved and give up all the demonic powers, the demonic enablements, the demonic enhancements, whatever the demon gives you in counterfeit to charismatic Holy Spirit-given gifts, you want to get rid of. And I guarantee you that when we had people, that's true. Well, listen, there's the gift of speaking in tongues, languages the Bible talks about. It's a miraculous Holy Spirit charismatic gifting. There's a counterfeit. A lot of the Satanists we dealt with that had demons that could do twilight language, when we commanded the demon out, they couldn't speak the language, and the language sounded similar to tongues. That's why when they infiltrate and they can sound like, a lot of churches that just let tongues go with no interpretations. Let me tell you something. Real Satanists know how to do this. They love choosing those churches to infiltrate. Because if they can speak in the twilight language freely without any interruption, they're releasing demonic curse. They're cursing the Lord Jesus. They're releasing curse into the church. That's why in Corinth there's a command that there has to be an interpretation because of the possibility. And you look at the whole context of 1 Corinthians 12 and you're going to see, well, listen, I know we're already starting this. This is going to be a short segment, session 6. We don't have about 20 minutes. But every charismatic gifting, there is a counterfeit the demons can bring about. And when anybody who has those abilities, and I'm going to tell you this right now, there's been people that have sat right in front of me and said they don't want to give up their abilities. They don't want to give up the things the demons gave them. And then I tell them very clearly, then you can't get saved. You can't turn to Jesus. You got to repent and renounce these, and you want the demons out, the Spirit of God to come in through Christ, and the giftings, you know, do you want the power of God and the giftings that come from God used to be used to the glory of God, the advance of the gospel, or do you want demon gifts and use them in the, you know, in the worst of ways and end up going to hell? Anybody using enhancements from the demonic side is aiding and abetting, they abet the dark side, the advance. Well, again, you keep praying concerning coming up into Canada. I've only committed to five, I think now six, instead of 10, six conferences this year. Next, now here, let me tell you right now, next week, Tuesday night, I will be in Florida. I don't think, and just look at the front page of shatterthedarkness.net, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do the live broadcast on the road like that. So I'm going to be speaking in Orlando, Prophecy in the News Conference, and then 1 week later I'll be in Knoxville speaking there. 4 weeks later I'm going to be at Budd Lake, New Jersey, speaking at a big conference there, and then down in Memphis, Tennessee, a conference. In September, Newark, Ohio, Nephilim Mounds 3 with Chief Joseph and L.A. Marzulli. Then we're doing another one in October on Satanic and Occult Satanic Crimes, Part 2. In October, and that's coming up. And it's all on our website. When you click on the conferences, there should be a listing. Well, let's continue to talk here in this part six of session H, demons in people and on objects and operative and so forth. We're on page 37 towards the bottom, sleep paralysis is really demonic visitation. There's also ritual or occult practices that can be done in a house. And let me say this, there is a warning to ghost hunters. And, you know, I've watched documentary after documentary. I mean, many. One day I sat down and began to go through a whole bunch online in my Prime. I have a Prime with Amazon. And I was going through all these stories of people who went after what they thought were ghosts and realized they were evil. They came after them. These entities that they engaged all of a sudden began to show up at their houses afterwards. They followed them home. If you play with them, engage them, talk with them, have a willingness, and you're willing to listen to their deceit, they may follow you home. They may begin to want more. Somebody asked a question here, what does a twilight language sound like? It sounds like a foreign language. It sounds like a foreign language. I had a highly powered chosen one sit in a car, and I knew there was a demon there, so I prayed against the demon, and all of a sudden the person began to speak in another language out loud. And in the context of their speaking in this other language, they called on Aromain to come and help them. This is a demon among the Arabs, powerful being. They were summoning a demon sitting in my car, speaking in this demon-empowered counterfeit tongues. It just sounded like foreign languages, but supercharged. You know what I did? I just began to pray louder. I didn't have to yell, but I prayed a little louder, stronger, and commanding in the name of Jesus. And it went on and on and on for about 45 seconds to a minute, and they finally grabbed their head, opened the car door, and they ran. Didn't come back for an hour. On page 37 on the bottom, if in your house rituals or occult practices are done, you can pretty much sure there's a demon there. Ghost hunters playing this game, they might be going to places where, you know, rituals were done, demons were done. Sometimes violent crimes can open the door, especially if demons were involved in any sense of the person. And again, remember when a person that's demonized dies, where does the demon go? It pops out of them. Demons that are sent in spells, curses, hexes, astral projection, once again, you can have demonized objects that are brought into your home, set on top of your dresser, and all of a sudden you start to have visitations, you start feeling like something's in the room. And do demons call on other demons to come and help them? You better believe they do. You better believe they do. Demons will always try to inspire a learning practitioner to do deeper rituals, to summon more demons. The demons love to teach you newer things, deep, what they would think, you know, they want to convince you is secret and elite and deep things, only so you can do those rituals to get more demons to come over so they can, you know, they want to make you a bigger doorway. Anybody that's doing the rituals, they're simply using you to be the bigger doorway to bring more and more of them through. Notes up here, other demons get help from other demons. Oh my gosh, I have not thought of that. I have had people who are doing demons on to where all of a sudden I believe the demon himself was calling through the person to summon others. Again, here, rely on God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit dwells in you as a believer. He is God. He dwells in you. He's quicker, stronger, more powerful than all demons collectively put together. That's why we read in 1 John 4, Megos, huge, greater is he who is in you. Okay? Did I ever get a phone call in the middle of an exorcism? Yeah, and we learn to, you know, get rid of stuff like that, and I've also won't answer. If I'm in the middle of counseling and ministering somebody, I won't answer a phone and interrupt that. We've had other things happen too. Kids come running in. We began to do a deliverance on one individual, and a wife came in with a baby and set the baby in the middle of the floor. I ain't gonna do it. I mean, as much as I know we have authority, I was like, no, we're not going to do that right here. I'm not going to play this. You know, you got to get the baby and go somewhere else, and we'll deal with this. We ended up bringing the person to my home. Yep, I've done a number of deliverances right out of my house. And after it's all done and said, I come in and I pray through. And right here, in this very research center I'm sitting in, I'm sitting in a place where there's thousands and thousands of volumes of books and materials and computers and stuff and broadcast, all this stuff down here. And a week ago, I did a deliverance and engaged a demonic presence in an individual. They gave up their power-charged necklace, but it took a while. I made them make the choice. You make the choice. You know, I'm not just going to take it from you. I want you to take the choice. And by the way, if you're giving up this stuff, if you're coming out of that darkness, renounce it. Go ahead and label it. Listen, this was dangerous and deception. They would have led you straight to hell. They didn't care. They just wanted you for the door. They wanted you to be a big doorway for more demons, to use you to write things, influence, to invite other people, to do rituals, to cause people to come over. They wanted to give you abilities so you can show people you can do supernatural things. And they were stealing your soul all along the way, blinding you from the power of God in Christ. Somebody put up, if you would, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Astral projection, and we've talked about this before, is where demonic empowerment enables a person to leave their body. And because now, after 40 years of books being written and so forth, thousands upon tens of thousands of people are practitioners all over the world. Many of them combine drugs like ayahuasca with this. And so that helps open the door to the spirits, and so they want this. I mean, people that are literally blinded by the masquerading demons, and they're blinded by the supernatural powers that they're feeling and the energies they're feeling and wanting and get letting in, and then they get abilities to leave the body or to do things and stuff and to sense things and claim they see the dead. You're not seeing the dead. You're seeing what the demon wants you to see. Necromancers... you're not seeing the dead. You're literally, your eyes have been opened to the demonic world where there's masquerading. Thank you, Shane. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God, in reference to Satan, in whom, small g, in whom the God of this world, it's the word aeon there, this time period, hath blinded, look at that word blinded. It means like snow blind. It means like blowing smoke over your perceptions. That's what the word has a reference to. Blinding your perceptions, your ability to discern, your ability to perceive, your ability to understand. Satan is actively, supernaturally blinding, smoking out people's, you know, abilities to perceive, see, and so forth. What is the blinding? Why is he blinding them? He blinds the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the icon, the image of God, might shine to them. He didn't want you to see who Jesus really is. Satan is fighting against, he's fighting against people getting saved. Yeah, I do believe that there are certain video games. Listen, if demonized people are anyway making, well, like again, demonized, like first Timothy 4:1 down, when it comes to writing books, writing fantasy things, drawing art, clay objects, fashioning jewelry, if a demon inspires jewelry making, if a demon inspires object making, if a demon inspires writings, if a demon inspires lyrics in a song, if a demon inspires an individual who's crafting and working and making video games, then you have charged fantasy, charged digital video game, charged jewelry. If you go back and study at some point, we only have 5 minutes left tonight. In the book of Exodus, the Spirit of God came down on individuals to give them the power of craftsmanship. Well, listen, when you think in terms of the temple of God in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God, God gave the design, the blueprints, and God came down with his actual presence, his power, and gave them the ability of craftsmanship to craft the items, to make the items for the temple of God. Counterfeit to that, who do you think inspired the building of demon, where demon gods are worshipped? Those buildings that are considered beautiful, you know, places of the world. Cambodia, other places, you know, Angkor and all those places. You're right. Among Masons, 56,000 temples of Masons, temples in the United States, they have demonized, spirit-crafted symbols, objects, writings, ritual rooms, ritual objects, ritual clothing, swords. Mormons have magic underwear, charged clothing they wear under their clothes. Here's a testimony. It says, quote, I know that, Russ, when I was in the image, when they were into stuff, an image came to me to make a design on rings. Oh, okay. I think you asked earlier about the ring that we confiscated. They were willing to turn it over. Has a monarch butterfly in reference to the monarch project, in reference to a monarch status within a coven. Demonized too. No question about that. All of the Hindu symbols and so forth. And yoga, watch out for yoga. Yoga pants. Shouldn't wear them anyway. At the mall, when I'm sitting there talking to an SRA, and I have one of my staff member guys, friends, and very good worker, retired officer, he's keeping an eye out. And, you know, I'm right by the door where in the food court people are coming in and out. You know how many, like, moms, don't let your daughters wear yoga pants. What's that all about? Okay? We won't, you know, there. Remember, spiritual warfare is the world, the flesh, and the devil. Okay? The world sucking you in to its cause and timing and all that. The enemy bringing you in. Well, listen, with about 2 minutes left tonight, I have two more things here on here. You know what? We're going to have part seven. I'm not going to rush this. When we come back for part seven, we're going to deal with it on page 38, the point that says this, quote, when you feel or sense oppression or attack, what do you do? And then I'm going to deal with when you feel, we're going to deal with some subjective issues here about when you have people summoning demons and sending them against you. We'll deal with that in session seven the next time we have class. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Father, right now, stretch out your hands. Bless, guard, protect. We pray Psalm 91 and all of your blessing and protection and the way you guard us at night, even when we sleep, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for 1 John chapter 5, where you, the Lord Jesus, will protect us from the evil one. And we love you tonight, and we ask you to stretch out your hands to each one. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for embracing us. We just embrace you back in worship and love you and declare you are God, and we thank you. We will talk about that. We will actually talk about the Skype thing. We're talking right now. We're looking into the YouTube live streaming where you can actually go there and kind of see me direct as I'm teaching. That means I can't wear Well, listen, that's all I'm going to say tonight. We love you tonight. Keep us in your prayers, please. Keep Shadow of the Darkness in our teams. The conferences, please pray for us. We love you tonight. More next week. Good night.